Hey there, welcome to Podmass. Are you ready? Let's hang out. It's Podmass. Podmass is like the advent calendar of podcasting traditions that was started by some podcaster somewhere who recognized that during the holiday season there were a lot of people tuning in. This is mostly because we're traveling and dealing with family and other crap we don't want to deal with, but most recently because so many of us have been stuck at home with the pandemic. And so Modern Witch is joining the festivities this year by dropping an episode every day between Yule and the New Year. That's like 11 episodes of Modern Witch. And I don't know what it says about you that you're tuning in to a bunch of witches for holiday cheer, but whatever, it's cool. I mean, come on in, no judgment. Again, it's Podmass, and you're listening to the Modern Witch Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
What is that? It's a little bag made from the skin of a toad.
Does it matter? She's tampering in dark sided stuff!
Yet in our own supremely rational time, there has been a dramatic rebirth of the ancient arts of witchcraft.
You're listening to the Modern Witch Podcast with Devin Hunter.
On the fourth day of Podmass. No, I'm kidding. I'm just going to stop. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to stop doing that for you. I'm going to stop doing that for me. I'm going to stop pretending like it isn't 1:30 in the morning. And yeah. So anyway, not singing, but I am here. What you doing? How are you? It's been a while. Well, it is Podmass, and so of course I am back with a whole new episode. It's actually going to be a two-parter, you might have guessed. It's a glimpse inside of what we are doing over at the Modern Witch Patreon. There's all kinds of good things and fun things that happen throughout each month, whether it's a class or a workshop or perhaps a book club thing, or, you know, goodness gracious, there are so many options. And so, well, I thought maybe I would share some of that goodness with you. And so I had my good friend Danielle Dion, or Dion, it's a whole thing, you'll hear, it's a whole thing. She came on the show. We talked about her book, Magical Mediumship. And it's actually not that she came on the show. I can't even say that because technically this was something that I did just for the patrons. But it was so cool. I was like, no, I want to share this with some other people. And it was just awesome. And it was a treat because I wanted her to come on the show. And so it was like two birds, one scone. And yeah, so here we are. So we are actually, this is a book club kind of deep dive into her book, Magical Mediumship. And if you haven't gotten this book and you are a practicing witch, which I'm assuming you are because you're tuning into the show, I have to tell you, you really want this book. And the reason why is that it kind of helps equip you for some things that other books just have not set you up for. My books did not set you up for. So you definitely want to check out Danielle's book. I'll have information in the show notes, so no need to worry. I've got your back. I got you covered. It's Podmass. I'm here for you. I'm here for Danielle. I hope that she is keeping warm and cozy, because you know what? Goddess keeper. She totally moved her schedule around a couple of times to make this whole thing happen, because when we started talking, we kept talking. So once again, this is Modern Witch Podcast that you're listening to. This whole episode is brought to you by the fantastic folks over at the Modern Witch Patreon. I love you. You are my little family on the internet. It's super trippy, but I get up in the morning and it's so nice to have the Discord and to communicate. And you know, when I'm going through stuff, you guys are there, and when you guys are going through stuff, hopefully, you know, you feel like I'm there for you too. And it's just this really great thing. And so I love and appreciate everybody who's part of the Patreon, everybody who is there participating and part of the Discord, and it's just really cool. So, you know, whether you're just there to be a friend of Modern Witch, or you are participating in the subscription box, or perhaps you are one of the wicked cool witches and you're at that top tier, whatever's going on, however you choose to support, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Your support means the absolute world to me, and knowing that you're there and you have my back really means the world to me. So just thank you. I just got all love for you. So, and you know that, but you're helping me produce things and create things and work on books and do podcasts and do these new videos, which you know that I'm talking about if you're part of the Patreon. So just, you know, wow, I am the luckiest witch in the world because I've got you. And I really, truly mean that. I really absolutely feel that way. So thanks. Merry Podmas. This one's for you. And of course, you've probably already heard it because this is actually from your archive. So technically, I am regifting, but we don't need to talk about that. Anyway, so this is Podmas, Merry Podmas. Once again, you're listening to the Modern Witch Podcast. I am Devin Hunter, and this is a really interesting and intense discussion about Danielle Dion's new book, Magical Mediumship. And once again, yeah, I'll see you on the flip side.
Okay, so we're just going to hit the ground running because you're my good friend, Danielle.
And
so I'm really excited to have you with the group right now. And even though a lot of people are going to be listening to this after the fact, so we're going to treat this like a special episode of Modern Witch. And so I'm excited to get you behind the scenes here because there's things that usually like I would never get a chance to have somebody on the podcast, or there's details about stuff that happens like in their books, like with your book, this really incredible book, Magical Mediumship. And it's gonna be a treat. So I'm really looking forward to doing it. I also want to say, and I'm going to say it again, when we're recording your podcast episode, I like blurbed your book, but I never turned it in, I believe. And so I feel really bad about that. And I just wanted to tell you that I love your book and anything and everything I can do to spread the word about how awesome it is, I want to do. So if for some reason you are catching this after, like, before you read the book or any of that, or while you're reading the book, which might be kind of cool, just know that this is a really awesome book and you should definitely have it on your shelves. And the reason why I like it, so I'm going to talk a lot and then I'm going to just hand the floor over to you. And I apologize for my creaky chair, everybody. So the reason why I think this is a really awesome book and it's an important book is that if you are a witch who finds mediumship and communicating with the spirit world to be just kind of an essential part of being a witch, right? Then you often are going to find that you have to go through like 15,000 books and different traditions and all of these different things to find a practice that can be kind of non-denominational. It can be something that applies and fits into all of these different places. And I think a lot of people have tried to write this book. I think a lot of people have wanted to write this book. I know certainly that I had like a chapter I got to write about this stuff. There was no way in a million years that I could touch this topic in the way that it needed to. And yet here you come along and you put this really wonderful system together. So why I think this is important for everybody is that if you're somebody who values that practice, you're given this manual that really does take you through the process of building your own practice that works for you. This isn't about a tradition. This isn't about somebody's theories about, you know, how the afterlife works or any of that other shit. This is a manual on how to sculpt your own practice. And that is really fucking badass. So my first thing that I want to start this discussion off with is, what made you, like, you know, I know this is gonna be kind of basic, but what's the origin story for this book?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. I totally forgot about the blurb, so that's super kind of you to say, and I'm glad that you enjoyed this. Yeah, the reason that I wrote this book was, I think that ever since I was little, this is, if somebody was going to hand me a book and say, hey, you know, when I got into this, this is sort of what you need to, you know, hit the ground running with spirit communication, specifically with ancestors and deceased loved ones, that's what I was like craving and couldn't really find something like that. I found a home, you know, when I was little, basically I had a best friend that passed away, which kind of started and initiated me on this journey because I had experiences having spirit communication with him and had some other, you know, experiences with death along the way that really got me into that mindset of, okay, you know, when we die, we are not gone away. Clearly they are still communicating with me. Is there a way I can communicate back? How does this look? How does it look in different cultures? I read a lot about spiritualism as a kid because it was what I could get my hands on. But I kind of had this like idea that spiritualism only lived in England, and it like basically was a thing of the past. And as I, when I was in my early 20s, I was pursuing my Reiki master. I was doing a Reiki master apprenticeship, and my teacher basically told me, she's like, oh, there's a spiritualist church down the road and they do hands-on healing. You should go check it out. So I ended up, I was like, oh my gosh, I know all about spiritualism because they talk to dead people. So I kind of got involved in the spiritualist community that way. And so that was really exciting for me. So yeah, this book basically is different aspects of my journey that I've sort of figured out along the way that have been helpful for me to build a process of communicating with the dead for other people, certainly. So when we talk about mediumship and having mediumship sessions, a lot of people want that ability. Or if you're a psychic reader and you have people asking you for mediumship and you're like, I don't really know, you know, what is the process or what does that mechanism look like? This book is, you know, designed to give you confidence in that regard, but also just how do you commune with your own loved ones? You know, how do you have an ancestral practice that is really personal to you that, you know, gives you that ability to have a place to intercede with loved ones and receive messages back from them, but also how to confront mortality, because I think we can't talk about death without, you know, talking about connecting with the dead without realizing that we too are mortal beings and we one day will be dead and maybe, you know, communicating via mediumship back to the living. So I think for me, it's a culmination of my journey, what's worked for me, you know, giving advice on taking what resonates and maybe leaving what doesn't, but putting together something that's meaningful and true to you that works.
If that makes sense. That's totally. And it's a very powerful statement too. So, and when you come on the show, that specifically we're going to be talking about death stuff, because it's such a hard, uncomfortable thing. And, you know, I'm so in my own process with it that your experiences are fascinating to me, because you're a medium like me who just naturally came to it, and you then had to experience death and the energy of death and that presence in a very unique, specific way a couple of times. And so it's interesting. I'm really looking forward to picking your brain about it. Just as much as I was curious about picking Tomas Prower's brain about it too, because we go into some really interesting stuff with him. And so it's going to be a really interesting couple of episodes to be going through. We're going to be really underworldy for a couple of months on Modern Witch. But it's important. And you know, for me, what I really did take away from this book was, even, you know, it's so funny because I know everything and I know nothing, right? I am Jon Snow. And so I, you know, with this, I love that Matt and I talk, and he's like, you're a little cocky sometimes because you act like you know everything. And I'm like, yeah, it's true. It's the Sagittarian energy that comes out, right? Especially when it comes to this particular topic, I'm a little bit of an ass because I have, you know me, you've been around, you know what it's like. So you know what I'm like. And so with this, I walked away with things that I was able to add to my own practice. So we're going to talk about that. Because, all right. Let's do that. Let's do it. So in the first chapter, you do talk about basically, you know, your practice, how this all kind of came to be, this idea of magical mediumship. But I wanted to just summarize, because to me, a really important message and concept here was this idea of practical application of what it is that you're experiencing, in addition to this idea of walking the crooked path. So I want to just talk real quick about those specific things, okay? This idea of being able to apply these things in a very natural way, with at the same time being able to, again, come at it from this perspective of I walk a crooked path. Like, how do they work together? Because to me, these things are, you know, when somebody sits down and says, well, how do you do this? And my thing is like, well, I don't fucking know. I just do it. Right. But if I distilled it down, I would say there's a practical application in my own practice. But there's also this awareness that I walk a crooked path, and those things are kind of related. So as I was reading this chapter, I felt a symmetry there. Can you speak to that? Can you speak to this idea of walking a crooked path and the importance of applying these things in a very applicable sense?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a very airy person, and prominent in Sagittarius as well as my rising, and I have a lot there. But I think for me, learning about mediumship or spirit communication or whatever really inspires you on your path. And I think that, you know, even the idea of a crooked path here is that, you know, I think the road kind of lays out before us. And if we listen, if we are receptive to the spirit world, and you're very spirit connected, that's like your jam. When we listen in, when we partner with them, we're able to make real world change, not just for ourselves. I think that, you know, obviously there's an aspect here that it is for our betterment or our development in a lot of ways, but I think we can also have reciprocal beneficial relationships with the spirit world. And by doing their work in the world, that aids them. And, you know, things kind of unfold before us. But I think a lot of times when I, you know, when I've had connections, when I run development groups, which has been something that I've done, you know, over the past 10, 15 years, some people are really like, oh, this is really cool. I love to read about it, but I don't know how to do this, or I don't really know if this would really work in my life. And I think that this book, and just out of the gate, you know, introducing magical mediumship is really about make it your own. You know, things are going to change. You may think you know everything one day and something blows your mind the next day. And you just kind of have to roll with it. And so I think I wrote this book, you know, over the last few years, but if you ask me in 5 years, I hope there's change. I hope there's more that has sort of developed within me, or that the spirits have taught me, or that we've partnered together for. But I think it's, you know, I don't know. I think we're all evolving, as are our connections and communications. And I think the more that we sit with spirit, the more that we work with them. So not just in a, you know, certainly mediumship is a wonderful service to the dead and the living. But when we start to ancestrally connect in, when we, you know, venerate our ancestors, when we work on ancestral repair, it changes us and it changes them. And I think that is so powerful and something that, you know, I'm learning more and more about as I confront my own mortality. Certainly this year has inspired me and, you know, given me different perspective, which I can certainly talk about. But yeah, it is a winding, twisting road. And I think, you know, spirits are there to aid us, to guide us, to, you know, complicate our lives in some regards. But when you foster these relationships, they can be so, I think, beneficial to both parties involved, and magic happens.
It does, doesn't it? And it just fucking happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so again, we're totally talking, we're touching on things that we will be absolutely jumping into in the podcast, which will be coming up very soon. So thank you, because that all very much fits into setting up the book. I mean, what we're about to go jump into. So thank you for doing that. Okay. So in the second chapter, you are actually, before we do that, everybody there, because people have joined us while you were answering my last question. So everybody keep Hello. Muted. And then at the end, we'll open up for questions and then you can do those things. But I just want to make sure everybody, so that we can get the recording stuff in for everybody to listen to later, that we get through the jam first, and then you can ask your questions. But please do stay tuned and keep those questions in mind, because Danielle is awesome and she's going to answer all of them.
So, I'll try.
Welcome. And let's see here, we're going to let somebody else in. But yeah, so just keep your questions till the end, and then we'll connect back and let you ask those questions later on. So if I see you come in, I might mute you, no offense, just to keep the recording clean. Okay, so in the second chapter, we start getting into types of energy, and this is something that I it's funny, because this, when you train or study psychic development and mediumship outside of witchcraft, mm-hmm. energy is a concept that is used in it's applied a little differently. If you were sitting in a room with a bunch of psychics and we're talking about energy, to me, there is a, refined, or if it's just it's a more thoroughly kind of expressed concept within mediumship than it tends to be in witchcraft, which you say energy, and it can mean a lot of things in witchcraft. But when we apply it to, you know, if we're talking about mediumship, things tend to be a little more specific. And it's something that I think can be a little off-putting, because as a witch, you know, I like things, everything's energy, right? Everything's connected. It's all da da da. But when we get into these specifics of are you impacted by these experiences, and what are you experiencing, and what you know, if we were to break things down to something that was distillable, you've done it by explaining that there are four energy types. Like, we talk about the types of energy, Specifically, for those of you, we're on chapter two now. This is personal life force, earth energy, celestial energy, and divine energy. And these are all very interesting to me. So can we dive into those and why you think these things are specifically important for us to remember as we're moving forward?
Yes. So I also will say that when I wrote this book, I had two audiences in mind, really more, you know, it's the intention that anybody can pick up this book for different reasons and work with it. But I live in a witchcraft world, as you know. So, you know, that's sort of my home of homes. Mediumship is my heart of hearts for what I do, but I am a witch at heart. And so the audience that I mostly had in my psychic development, mediumship development, were not witchy folk. And I tried to always, you know, sneak that in there. And for the witchy folk in my life, you know, I was trying to come at it from a, you know, here's a good process for communicating with the dead that may be applicable to the knowledge and the work that you're already doing. So coming to the table with folks that maybe don't have a basic understanding of, you know, how do we enact change? How do we do magic in the world? Where does, you know, energy sources come from? This is sort of just for me, it was a basic way that could be explained briefly without going into, you know, we could add to this list and we could, you know, break apart this list and make it into different subcategories. But I thought this was sort of a good introduction just to kind of say, if we're looking at magic, if you're not familiar with that concept, I'm sorry about that. This is, you know, kind of a crash course, crash understanding that can maybe, you know, get you enticed to jump into this work if it kind of calls to you. And it is cool because I feel like a lot of people that have come under my mentorship when I've worked with mentees, I'm taking a little bit of a break right now. They really didn't have this sort of mindset, which I think, you know, inherently as witches, you know, we have that idea of, you know, connecting to our own, you know, our own energy source. And, you know, I think that's kind of more of what the, you know, psychic mediumship development folks that I typically encountered were aware of. But the idea that, you know, there's a vital life force in the earth that we can, you know, that we can conjure, that we can connect with, that we can apply in different ways. They are maybe not necessarily thinking of that. The idea of the above, the celestial energies, heavenly bodies, different energies there that can be, you know, applied and connected to. And even the idea of divinity, you know, we think about, you know, connections to spirits, but connections to deity, connections to, you know, whatever you call it, whether it's the I am that I am or the all or, you know, the great cosmos, universal life energy, all of these things we can have different names for. But again, it is a source for, you know, for making things happen. And it can be, you know, it's just for a basic understanding, I think, for folks that are really not have not been exposed to that kind of mindset or framework before. So that's kind of the intention that I had writing about different energy types. And that's always an interesting thing because I think when we talk about it in groups, I think it gives people that idea to ponder and that we really do have the ability to create change in our lives, that we are not just kind of at the whimsy or the, you know, at the hands of fate here, that we can partake in that as well. And it's really fun to see people kind of get excited about that and take it to different places. So that was my intent with it. Yeah.
Totally. Okay. I love it. So we're going to stay here for a second though. So the fifth element. So this is always interesting to me because I love to hear witches describe what the fifth element is, because each of us, I mean, I think we're all beating around the same bush essentially, because, you know, you can only understand it in your own way, right? But I love to hear it. So you know, obviously it's brought up here before you start talking about the clair senses and working with it in dead allies, but what is the fifth element to you?
Yeah, for me it's the idea that we have you know, that we have this connection to everything, you know, the idea of great spirit, the idea that there is, that we share everything together. And that this is also a source of unification that, that is cosmic, that is grand in a lot of ways. And so here I just kind of touch upon it because I think that different, you know, traditions, different, you know, different backgrounds will come to this in different ways. But for me, it is that sort of spark of life that is unique within all of us that we are able to, you know, connect with. What do I want to say about it? It's just that I think when I was in the spiritualist community, I felt like people didn't have a word for this. I mean, we have the idea of a great spirit. And I think that's sort of where they were kind of touching upon this in a lot of different ways. But for me, it is that just unifying energy that even when we die, we are still connected, that there is this connection to all. And that's something that can be tapped into, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. Thank you. So moving on to chapter three, we're just going to just hop along here. So you specifically go into mediumship basics. And I love that you start this off by talking about spiritualism. So can we just briefly discuss what spiritualism is? I know that's 30 seconds. Go. But can we just briefly talk about like what spiritualism is? And I mean, you've done a really good job in the book. I'm sure everyone's read it, but specifically in juxtaposition to witchcraft for you, you know, because we know, so spiritualism is this tradition, it's very old, it's rooted obviously in the UK and Europe, and then made its way over here. That's a whole topic unto itself, but specifically your relationship to it, because you said that you studied it, obviously you were drawn to spiritualism. But you're also a witch. So what is that relationship like for you? Like those two things, how do they complement each other, and how might they contradict each other?
Yeah. So spiritualism, I love in many aspects, and that I also feel like I hit my head against the wall in a lot of aspects when I was actively involved in a spiritualist community. But really, it's actually a United States born movement. And so they don't really necessarily, you know, dub it a religion. There are different aspects that would classify it as that technically, but really it's this idea and philosophy that there's a continuation of life after death. And so through mediumship, we are proving that, there is no death, that we are able to, that life continues after, this thing that we call death. And it gained a lot of traction in the United States post-Civil War. And actually spiritualism is sort of in another resurgence, which I think is really fascinating because we're in this, or even just mediumship. I mean, we don't want to like classify it just as spiritualism, but spiritualism is sort of taking on a new surge here in the United States. And I think, post-COVID, or not even post-COVID, in COVID, because we're here in COVID, with a lot of death, there is an interest in communing with the dead when we have sort of mass casualty events. But spiritualism was more than just that. It was a lot of progressive folks that were, pro-suffragette movements. It was more than just, yay, dead people, yay, we're connecting to them. It was kind of a social movement in a lot of ways. And it gained a lot of traction in the United Kingdom, specifically in England. It used to be, I think, the seventh largest religion in England. And it went a little bit on the wayside. But again, like I said, there's more and more people kind of coming to it. So we're sort of seeing a resurgence. There are actual churches. When I was like in my early 20s, I think I was like maybe 21 when I went to my first spiritualist church, they it is very church-like. I grew up with, Protestant and Catholic background. And it reminded me very much of like the Protestant church that I would attend with my mom. And, so they would sort of be uplifting. They would have hymns. They would do hands-on healing, which is a little bit different than, the exposure that I had growing up. But then at the end, they would do mediumship galleries where they would share messages from spirits. So a medium would get up and then share the messages with all those that are kind of gathered there. So it was really just intertwined into their belief that the dead can bring through messages. Often they were very uplifting. There was an evidential focus, which is what I really loved about it, because they had a process, and that really kind of inspired me to kind of look at the experiences that I was having sort of sporadically, sometimes, when I was certainly trying to do it, having them, but not in a really like clear, this is how you start, this is what happens, this is what you can expect, this is kind of how you finish it. So that was sort of my first exposure to how the mediums of the past have been doing it for a long time. And I think there's certain, there's different types of mediumship. So that, I don't know if that'll probably come up because I think that's in this chapter. Yeah. But specifically evidential mediumship is a big focus of this book because they really tried to put the idea that this is scientific, which I think we can't completely say, but I think certainly there's an evidential aspect that you want to see when you do, you know, mediumship in this kind of capacity, or hopefully you're bringing through information that then could be validated, as well as a message, as well as the person's essence, which I think is, you know, equally important in a lot of ways. But yeah, so spiritualism gained a lot of traction, but then there was also fraudulent mediums. If you know Houdini, you know that he hated spiritualists and was very much out to, you know, disprove them in a lot of ways. So people had really interesting reactions to this movement and the idea that, you know, what happens when we die. So I think it does stir up these, you know, complicated feelings about mortality. But when we sort of saw the rise in the pressure of people having to perform, because we sort of started to have circuit mediums, then we start to see fraud, then we start to see things that are, you know, a little bit too out there. Yeah. And then that really causes its demise, you know, for a while here in the United States. But for the most part, I guess I'll say, because I, you know, people are always like, oh, do you see frauds? Do you see that? So like the majority of time, like, I don't know, 99% of the time, I think the people doing this are really well-intended and coming from a good place with it. But until like a few years ago, I really hadn't had any things that I would call like overtly fraud. And then I did have that experience with a physical medium situation. So I think it is out there. I think use your discernment as with everything, when you are either going to do mediumship or, you know, connecting with someone who is either saying that they're a medium or teaching, you know, mediumship or putting on, you know, an event in that way. But the majority of people are coming with the right intention, whether they call themselves spiritualists or not, if they're saying medium.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Did I?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so two things. First thing is, Chaz would absolutely kill me when he listens to this because I know better. I know that spiritualism started here in America. I don't know why. But
oh, no.
I think it's because my teacher came from the UK, or the person who inspired me in spiritualism came from the UK. So I can't say she was really my teacher. But and so I think that's why spiritualism, even though I know better. So thank you for correcting that, because that is very important, because that's part of our American heritage here. And I think that's a really beautiful thing that, you know, anytime there's war, anytime there's mass death, there tends to be, as you're saying, like that resurgence and interest. And I think this is one of the beautiful aspects of American heritage that is, and, you know, to the fraudulent stuff, that is, oh goodness, that's like, we have a whole show there. Okay, so let's break this down. So in mediumship terms, and I love talking about this, right? Okay, so there are different types of mediumship, but I think what spiritualism did really well was it, for the first time in Western culture, there is this address of the dead as part of your life. So, and I've said this on the show a couple of times, but I have this firm belief that the reason why in Western culture we have this really fucked up relationship with the dead, it has to do with, you know, culturally, because we're colonizers, it was all about like sending your kids off to war and you never knew if you were going to see them again. And so you basically had to say goodbye because there was no telephone, there was no, you know, and this was just, you know, people were born to be labor or in the military. And then, you know, you've got your class of people who don't have to worry about that so much. But, you know, as a culture, we just were very divorced from this concept of death in that way of, you know, it's supposed to be forever. It's, you know, and that's why vampires are so scary to us and the reanimated dead are so horrifying. Whereas in other cultures, you don't get that. It's not a scary thing necessarily the same way. Yes. So I love this. So I love that spiritualism really addresses this in this way of saying, hey, the dead are still here with us. You can still communicate with the people that you love. And I love that because it was so popular, that there was that standard raised, right, of being able to get some sort of empirical data, some sort of information that you can definitely validate, right? That's a really important thing. And those things to me as a medium, those have always been very important, to be able to carry that through. And that the birthplace of that really is spiritualism, because you don't get to necessarily just say the weird shit that comes to your mind and just spew it out as fact. So that much I really love and appreciate. And to that end, part of this process was fleshing out different types of mediumship. And so in the Witch's Book of Power, I talk about the basics. So, or no, witches, book spirits, talk about the very basics, which are physical mediumship, spiritual mediumship, and mental mediumship. You go further though. So we're going to, let's break this out. Let's break this down. and let's talk about your experiences with these two, because again, another thing that's really fun to talk about. So yeah. In your book, the first one to come up is mental mediumship. So as a mediumship ability, how would you describe, I mean, obviously you describe mental mediumship in the book, but what is, if we, you know, if you got them all on the shelf together and you're looking at all of them, right? What is the one thing that really sticks out about mental mediumship that separates it from the others for you?
Yeah, I think when people are thinking of mediumship, this is what they're thinking about. So it's really that evidential sense that you, you know, as the medium are the medium, you are Danielle in that situation when you are connecting to, you know, party A and party B, you know, living and deceased. So you are then connecting to someone in the spirit world, bringing that message forward for the living, and you are sort of that medium conduit in between. So that's when we have that idea of linking with spirit. You're getting evidence about, you know, who they were in life. What is the message that they're bringing forward, and that person can, you know, receive that information. So that's sort of the idea of mental, that it's kind of happening in our mind. It's often described, you know, like these things that you are experiencing maybe happening in your mind's eye. You might see things, hear things, feel things. You know, we didn't really touch on Claire's, but I think that's a sort of cross, you know, tradition thing that people may be more familiar with. But that's typically the mediumship that comes to mind when we think of mediums currently in this day and age. And that can be, you know, whether it's gallery mediums or platform mediums, as it's sort of, you know, acknowledged in spiritualism. But when you see, you know, like Jenna Ward or John Holland or, you know, people that are doing stage mediumship, it's this kind of mediumship as well.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Right. And this tends to be do you think that it's, if we were to compare, let's take the fraudulent stuff, right? Let's pull that out. Mental mediumship is the easiest to fake, right? I mean, when it comes to all of these, would you say?
I think you could fake them all.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think people do, you know, whether you're, you know, cold reading people and just kind of seeking information, I think you could certainly, you know, be really generic in a mental mediumship kind of capacity. So like, oh, I have a grandfather here. He was in the military. He died of a heart attack. And he was, you know, in his late 80s. How many of you can like resonate with somebody that you know in that, you know? So I don't think that's necessarily like, if a medium is sitting there and bringing that forward, that it you know, oh, that didn't bring enough information forward. So they're making this up, but there are certainly things that are common enough that you could kind of get by and skirt with. So I think, you know, really sitting with the link and seeing how the medium works is part of that, you know, evidential piece that brings it to, you know, the next level. But certainly people could, you know, make stuff up, I think, in all these categories. But yeah, the one actually that I had experience with was in the physical mediumship realm of things, and it was just god awful.
Well, I guess let's jump on to physical mediumship then. So physical mediumship is essentially when you are physically experiencing the spirit, right? And this can be in a couple of different ways. So let's talk about that and why it's so easy to, well, fake it, I guess, because I want to hear your story. So I imagine this is going to be your show. Yeah.
So I have always kind of put out the call, you know, if anybody knows a good physical medium, I would love to sit with them because I do believe that it can happen. I think it is the least common these days and maybe the least common occurrence, you know, across the board. When we look kind of spiritualism mediumship wise, I think in other cultures, there are different, you know, there are some lines where it kind of crosses into like the trance realm and we can talk about that in a second, but the idea in physical mediumship in the spiritualist context of how I was sort of like brought up and you know, thinking about it, it's the idea of transfiguration, ectoplasm. So if you've ever seen those old timey photos of people doing seances where the medium is, you know, sitting in a chair or in a cabinet, oftentimes it's in a container of some sort. And then the medium has produced this, you know, ectoplasm that is kind of like this, you know, smoke-like or gauze-like substance that then takes the form of a spirit or form of something. A lot of these situations were fake. You know, as we get better at, you know, having, you know, cameras and things of that, a lot of times this was told, this was taking place in the dark. In the experience that I had, it was also taking place in the dark. I think that more credible mediums these days have said, you know, we need to take the idea that this happens in the dark away. So at least putting, you know, red light or different light in the room so you can kind of see in some regard what's happening and why it needs to be in the dark. There's, you know, different explanations for that. But I think that it doesn't have to, you know, whatever happens in the dark can also happen in the light. Maybe we don't see things exactly the same way, but the experience that I had, so actually, does that make sense with the physical mediumship? So it can be direct spirit voices, like you hear things in the room, things move, things manifest, things, you know, levitate. There are sounds that will, you know, like, what is it? Oh my gosh. The voice phenomena, direct voice phenomena that, you know, apports, things just appear and materialize, which we see in other traditions mm-hmm. as well. But that was a thing that would happen supposedly right. in these physical mediumship experiences. So I have a very credible friend who I love and dearly adore. He said to me, you know, this is several states away. There is a medium that is here. I think they're from the United Kingdom. I don't remember if they were from Wales or if they were from wherever they were. They're from somewhere else. They were traveling here. This person had seen them before and they felt like this guy was legit. So I said, awesome. I have so wanted to see this. I'm going to drive, you know, states away to go and do this. It was not cheap. You know, it was $100 to go sit in this session. And I'm like, I will gladly pay that to experience this if this is, you know, the real deal. And when I kind of queried the people that were gathered there, there were 14 people. Half of them had been to see this person before. So they were returning and then half were brand new to it. I'll just kind of give the overall highlights, then I'll be like, you know, mediumship is terrible. This was really, truly the only experience where I was just absolutely appalled and would have walked out if I could have. But I also couldn't pull myself away because it was so bad. So you're sitting in complete darkness. The highlights of it were that this person had multiple spirits. So this is another thing too, when it's not necessarily the spirits of loved ones coming through, it's their own cast of characters. So they were like, you know, Tommy, the little kid is here, and he'd talk in a little kid voice. And it was, you know, and I think that our voices can change. We can take on the likeness of the spirits that come forward. Absolutely. This was just really bad. They would spray people with water. They would, let's see, the person was zip tied in a cabinet, and that at some point they were able to get themselves out, but it was very clear that they had done this with their feet because their feet were out. It was just really bad. So I think the highlights for me were when Winston Churchill started to come forward and talk to us, and it was,
oh my.
Yes, that when we counted down. So normally when you go into mediumship, there's oftentimes, you know, music will be played. That's part of spiritualism. They make you sing. Oh my God, when I used to be in spiritualist development groups, we'd have to sing like row, row, row your boat. Like, we're scaring the spirits away. We're not raising our spirits to connect with them. But there is this idea that singing and that music does put us into that, you know, vibrational state to connect with spirit. And I think there's something to that. Not here. He played very loud music. We had to play loud music and we'd have to count down to when we were ready to kind of, you know, have the next piece of this seance unfold. And there were multiple times when he wasn't ready. So he would say, you know, we need to play the music again. And so clearly he was, you know, manipulating things, splashing us with his feet with water. There was a bowl of water underneath him. It was just really special. And then later in the event, I have a souvenir from his mouth. He produced a bunch of really cheap fake rings. So we all got to take an apport home, which I just thought was really over the top. And so I think wow. Use discernment. People, and what was interesting was half of these people loved this and other people were scared. And I think they played on that. It wasn't really like a kind experience for the people that were having, you know, visceral reactions, whether they had no idea what they were walking into and then were, you know, in this kind of weird shenanigan show. But yeah, it did not feel spiritual. You also know, I think if you're, you know, even if you're just remotely interested in this, you can sort of feel when there is a sacredness, when the energy shifts, when spirit enters the room. And I think that's something that, you know, the medium fosters, the people involved will foster, and that does affect the energy. This room was flat. So I think also just kind of having that, you know, connection to this, I was like, okay, this is really not, what is happening here is not great. And the person was also in PJs, baggy pants, black clothes, and was drinking a Red Bull as we went into it, which I thought was interesting, which is fine if that's like what but it was just really like over the top. So anyway, I digress. That's my whole like really horrified story. There's clearly other things that I can't remember because my mind is a little fuzzy these days, memory wise, but it was not great. So if that happens to you,
Yeah.
I think, you know, knowing Run. That's not everybody. and we don't really see, there's been a lot of people who have that have said that they're physical mediums that have been now, because people have infrared cameras, you can, you know, see in the dark kind of things. And there's clearly people, you know, spraying people with, you know, water guns. And, you know, there's been a lot of like evidence of people not doing it so great. And so I think when you see people saying, you know, we're gonna have low light and experience this, I think that gives it some credibility. But again, with anything, you know, use discernment, whatever you're getting yourself into, mediumship wise, or else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think the promise of physical mediumship for witchcraft, like what it means for witchcraft, is really tantalizing, right?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it could be applied in all kinds of interesting ways. And so I think there is, there's like this never ending desire to see it happen. So I would understand you getting in a car and driving states away and doing, spending $100. Oh, without question, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I'm glad you said that, you know, the room, that you could feel the room is flat, because my experience has been just period that when you get a bunch of mediums in a room together, or even if you just get two of us in a room together, we kind of feed each other, right? Like
yes.
We somehow kind of amplify that.
Amplifying, totally.
Which is why spiritualism is so great, because you can get a bunch of people practicing mediumship together. You can raise a lot of energy in that way. It's fantastic. But at the same time, that also means like people like you and me and, you know, people who are listening, any of us who've had that experience where you really feel spirit and you know, that big S way, or, you know, the divine or any of those sorts of things, when energy starts shifting in that way and spirits are coming in and out, you can feel that. Like, you can't bullshit a medium about, yes, like spirits. And so that's the thing I've never been able to successfully experience myself. And that's why I am a heavy skeptic. About physical mediumship big time. Although physical mediumship, I would say, was the most interesting and the thing that I chased the longest when it comes to like my own, you know, search for understanding mediumship, my own personal path with that, and just course of study. It was all really based on physical mediumship. But then, you know, I don't know. I got a spoon to bend. That was cool. And some table tipping happened, though. Yep. I wasn't 100% sure it was authentic table tipping.
Yep.
So it's something I would love to experience again. So, you know, there's some interesting stuff there. Physical mediumship is, to me, it's, you know, I talk about witchcraft being a projective psychic ability, basically. Physical mediumship is where we see that incredible crossover with that. So I'm a big fan of physical mediumship. I've never seen anybody do it that I thought was legit. And I can say that, like, you know, I'm sure you've had this experience where, you know, you're with a group of people who are really into something, and then you go and experience it, and you're like, this is kind of bullshit. And suddenly they're not your friends anymore, you know? And so I've, you know, I've lost a lot of friends because I'm like, no, I can't get up behind this physical medium bullshit, blah, blah, blah. So there's that. Now, but then we have other forms of mediumship. Trance mediumship is the next thing on our list. And this is something that I think as witches, we stumble upon a lot and
Definitely.
Very quite accidentally, right? So let's talk about a trance mediumship in relation to witchcraft real quick.
Yes. So I think that, and we can break trance down into many different categories. I don't know if I actually do that in here or not. I don't, but I love trance. So I will just say out of the gate, I'm biased. I think there are, trance has so much potential in so many ways for healing, for connection, for spirit connection with the dead, but beyond that. And so actually, I didn't even say this at the beginning. A lot of how I define mediumship, because that's how I was taught and kind of, you know, raised in this context, was mediumship is connecting to the dead. But I know with you, mediumship is all spirit, you know, connection. And a lot of this applies to other types of spirits as well. And when we get into trance, it's where we see an interesting crossover where a lot of spiritualists start to have like existential crises, because in spiritualism, there is a lot of, you know, yes, we can have guides. No, not necessarily deities. Like there's not like a super fine line about what is and what isn't, but you can see people kind of, you know, struggling with this mentally when this has kind of come up. But with trance, In the witchcraft side of things, when we do oracular rites, when we do, possession work, when we sit with spirit and they overshadow us, you know, they, you know, come so close, they blend with our energy, which is really the intention that we set with trance, for something specific or something brought, you know, open, which always kind of, you know, I have challenged with that a little bit because I want to, you know, one of the things that spiritualism doesn't really, and a lot of the training that I've had with this doesn't really take account for is that they think everything's all hunky-dory, everything's of the light, yay, nothing bad can happen to you. And I would disagree. I think there's different, you know, just like we have different people in our lives, there's different energies, you know, there's different energy dynamics. So they don't necessarily account for that, but I think, you know, there are certainly precautions that you can take to make sure that you're wanting to connect with something that is, you know, you know what you're signing up for, basically. But yeah, so I think a lot of people either have, you know, sporadic experiences with trance. I think even going in, you know, the ideas of movement, the gateways of trance, which I am really fascinated with, there's so many different ways to get you into a trance-like state, into a state that is sort of in between, that is liminal, that is allowing for, you know, something to come forward to connect with you, for you to go elsewhere. That's another thing too, that I think is kind of in this realm. But yeah, I think this will be really, you know, trance is very interesting for the witches coming to the table, looking at trance. They might be more like, oh yeah, totally, that's something that happens. Whereas evidential mediums are kind of like, I don't know, is trance a thing? I think more and more people are embracing it. We're seeing a real resurgence in trance mediumship in the mediumship communities, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, and you know, that's one of the things that I think was a weird turnoff for me with spiritualism too, was I'd get, I would say at the end of the day, I find trance mediumship to be the most valuable to mm-hmm. me personally, right? Yeah. So for my own personal development, my own personal figuring my shit out, you know, all of that stuff, trance mediumship is always where it's at. That's where you meet your spirit guides. That's where all that stuff happens. So love that. However, when, you know, the person who got me into spiritual mediumship had a spirit, it was actually the first time I'd ever seen a spirit guide, like another mm-hmm. person's spirit guide that I know of, I would say, like, because it was the first time that I'll just set this up for you. So Rosemary Altia, do you know who that is?
Oh, I know that name.
She's the shit. She's amazing.
That's awesome.
She, really big in the 80s. She was a spiritualist medium from the UK who kind of one of those people who woke up one day, you know, kind of a deals. Although in her case, she went to a spiritualist circle for the first time. She was invited on by a friend and she's like, this is bullshit, but you're all good. And then she goes and then she has an experience and it freaks her the fuck out. And then it kind of like starts her whole it uncorked the bottle, so to speak.
Yep.
So she just had this really fascinating story and I just fell in love with her. So I got a chance to go see her do a stadium style reading. And so she's up on this big stage and I knew nothing about her at this moment. I just knew that she was a famous medium and I was working for a bookstore at the time who was invited by the spiritualist church she was there to do this big thing with. To sell books. So I went to sell books so I could get in for free, which was great. And I was like 18, 19 years old, I think. And I go in and I sit down and there's this older British woman up there talking about her spirit guide, who I thought was bullshit because I was just going to say, she's a British lady talking about this Indian spirit guide. And I'm like, how the fuck does that happen?
So I know.
Which is this spiritualism where you don't have to get into. Like, oh, goodness. But I was like, what is she talking about? But literally, I shit you not, there, as soon as I had this thought of this woman is fuck, there was this giant eagle, this gray fucking eagle shielding her. It was just like as if she was an egg and it was his egg or something. He was shielding her and I would see him, like, it was almost if he was preening, and as he was preening he was telling her a little, he was like whispering to her, and it was so fucking weird. And it was this thing that took me totally aback, and it made me really understand that what I could do and what I was experiencing was way cooler than I thought it was.
Yes.
Right. And so, and that was the pinch that started this really in many, many ways that started this whole thing. So for me, so I really appreciated and I really loved that we were in this situation, right, where I could see her spirit guide. Like there it was without even, you know, I unprompted in many ways, like, you know, and I didn't know what I was looking for. And then I was able to describe this thing perfectly. And later on found out, you know, when I got to talk to her, I described it perfectly. And I had some other things and messages that came through, but it rocked my socks. So it was weird for me when I go to start studying mediumship or, you know, spiritualism, and suddenly the thing basically was that, nope, there aren't guides that are gods and these other things. When literally, like, one of the people who I took a class from, her spirit guide was Venus. And Venus would tell her XYZ, but yet there were no gods. And so it was always this really weird, like, it had to get down more to theosophy, I guess, or wanting to remain Christian while still. Yeah. So really trippy, interesting stuff, Danielle. Really trippy, interesting stuff.
That's awesome, though. And I think it's interesting that that's the experience, too, because I feel like a lot of people that I speak to that have, you know, that are, you know, that are in the spiritualist paradigm are like, I've like come up against this thing and like I am struggling with it because it's not within what the teachings are. But there, I think there's so much vastness to it. So like I'm, you know, I love spiritualism. It has, you know, grown me in many ways. Do I consider myself a spiritualist? No. Do I honor, you know, the spiritualists that came before in my experiences? Yes. But I think a lot of people there, and I think that's sort of shifting and changing, that there's a deeper breadth of, you know, connection points that people are, you know, experiencing all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So everyone who's just joining us, thank you. Welcome. I know we ended up getting started a little earlier than the original post time. We apologize about that. We just had a lot to go over today. And you didn't really, I mean, you've missed a lot because we've been talking for almost an hour. However, we're only on page 27.
Sorry.
First of all, I just love the book. And there's so much to talk about, but second of all, it's like, again, my favorite topic in the world. So, we're here for it. I apologize that I'm keeping you so long, and you let us know when you have to go.
Oh no, I'll talk forever. So you'll have to cut me off.
Okay. So, moving on. So, let's go to the next chapter. So, although I would love to talk about table tipping sometime. Okay. So the soul, this is something we don't have to spend too much time on, and it's really just seven pages in your book. So there's not too much to really talk about, but I would like to pick your brain real quick about, how do you feel the soul in relation to this mediumship stuff? What is your soul or our soul's personal, how do I put it? I don't want to say like, what's the risk or what's the benefit, but what's happening to our soul, do you think, as an experienced medium, when we are in a mediumship experience? That was a very weird sentence. But when we're in that mode and we're doing that, what do you think is happening to us spiritually? What do you think is happening to our souls?
Yeah, I think we're engaging, depending how we're enacting with the dead, different aspects of the soul. So I think, and because it's interesting. So in spiritualism, they're like, oh no, all the messages that come forward are of love and light. And they're like, you know, messages of, you know, I love you and I forgive you. And, you know, you might be like, wow, my dad was a complete asshole in life and, you know, a drunk and never would have said those things. So it can be a little bit jarring, you know, to somebody who might be receiving a message that maybe had great evidential aspects, but then the message is sort of off. And I always thought that was kind of interesting, you know, kind of experiencing this through the years. But when I learned about like the method, you know, the sort of model for what our soul, you know, is composed of, this made so much sense to me, because I think a lot of times mediums are engaging that, you know, that star aspect, that higher soul, the wise aspect of ourselves. So the messages that come forward are often, you know, higher messages, like the big things that come through, which I think, you know, are just great from a, you know, facing your mortality front. So many times I would dismiss the message of, I love you, because I was like, that's stupid. Why would like you come all the way to say, I love you? Why don't you say like, you know, look under the drawer, there's a message there for you, or there's, you know, money left over here. And sometimes those messages come through, but for the most part, you know, I love you can be absolutely powerful and huge for somebody to bring through, to somebody, you know, from the dead to the living. That can be healing, that can be empowering. There is power in that, and power in forgiveness, power in, you know, gratitude for the experiences that happened, and and accepting apologies too. So those are often themes that I see, but I think really when we are sitting and doing the evidential mediumship, possibly even the trance mediumship, it is engaging that, you know, highest and most wise aspect of soul. I think you can also engage in the other aspects of soul through different ways, and possibly in mediumship as well, but straight up mediumship, like we've just been talking about, I think it's really that aspect that kind of comes through. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and that's what I say all the time too, is I'm not convinced that we are, A, talking to somebody's soul. I don't actually think that's happening. I don't think we're talking to their spirit. I'm convinced that I'm communicating to whatever part of that person that I can channel via the querent or the person who I'm sitting next to. So I, if that's their father and that's the way that they know that person, all I can really do is channel that element of them that is connected to that. That's all I can really do. I can't necessarily get all of those interesting, fascinating aspects of a person that, you know, would make it a full personality, right? Like, or a full sentient conscious effort. Like, I'm not having a discussion with these beings in that same way as, you know, it feels very primitive almost when I'm doing it in my head. It's almost like, you know, pictures, and it's, you know, it's very, it's its own unique experience for, and it is for all of us, right? But the language and the stuff isn't there in that same way. So I never really consider it to be that I'm talking to a full person necessarily. I hate to say it quite like that, because I do believe they're people. I believe they are, you know, but once that soul part goes on to the next thing, if you're somebody who is into past lives and things like I am, if you're listening, then you know, there's this thing that's left over, right? It's not, because it isn't like a, I don't know, are you familiar with Star Trek, Danielle?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be your nerd friend. I'm going to make a nerd reference for everybody. So there's a species in Star Trek called the Trill. And the Trill are, they're kind of two different species that come together. And one of the species is humanoid like us, and they can be a host. And then there's another alien that's kind of like a worm. It's this precursor to Stargate and all that other fun stuff. But it's kind of like this worm thing that goes inside of the tummy, and it connects to the host, and it is able to live for lifetimes. So it, once the host is about to die, they go back to their homeworld. They let this alien thing out. It goes into a pool for a while, or it's immediately transferred to another host. Because in their culture, these things are venerated. And it may sound gross and icky, but the truth of it, they're very lovely, beautiful species, because most of them that we've come in, you know, in contact with have lived lifetimes. So they're, you know, at least they have the memories of lifetimes within them, because they're able to access it through this thing. So I always kind of look at the soul like that. And I just kind of naturally happened like that. It was more like, no, there's this piece of us that is just going to get put in these different bodies. And this is the way it's been explained to me by spirit. And that piece is that's your spark. That's the divine essence. And it's going to have memories. It's going to have records of those things. That's why you can access them akashically, or, you know, so on and so forth. But then you still have, if we took the soul and we divided it into three parts, you still have these two other parts. And so as a medium, the part that we're accessing is going to be that second part, that ego-y, you know, this was this person's person, you know, this was their them. You know, it wasn't necessarily who they really were on the inside, or that divine spark. That's not necessarily who we're talking to. To me, it's always been the remnant of that person's personality, and the remnant of that ego, good or bad. It just is what it is. It's there. And then there's that primal part that sometimes isn't, is kind of integrated into that. That's a whole other fucking thing to talk about. And then sometimes it's not integrated, and that's a whole other fucking thing to talk about. But as far as the mediumship stuff goes, it's always been to me that we were communicating with a part of them, but it's not all of them anymore, right? So, I mean, is that okay? So, in your experience,
yeah, I would agree. And the evidential piece is exactly that. It's like that ego piece. It's the piece of personality that we know, because that's how they're going to get recognized. Otherwise, if you were like, you know, so and so's coming with, you know, these whatever message that they want to say, if that's not recognizable, they're not able to really make that connection. So I think they come through right in that way that is going to be recognized, but sometimes the messages are a different part being accessed.
Leave it up to me to nerd it up with a Star Trek reference. I mean, it was valid. It was totally on point, so I don't apologize, but I'm just saying I'm a big nerd. And if you understood that reference, you also are a nerd and you are part of this. So I hope you're happy with yourself. Okay, so that was actually just 1 hour of what was almost a 2-hour discussion. And it was just a chunk of it. So just that first chunk of it. Danielle actually ended up coming back and had another 2-hour long discussion. And so tomorrow on Christmas, we're going to celebrate, you know, the birth of Christ with death, and we're going to talk about even more death, but a different part of the book, and where things get very juicy and very interesting in the discussion, and I thought this definitely has to be shared. So tomorrow, that's what you're going to get more of with Podmas, because again, every day, an episode between now and the new year, it's going to get intense. But I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in, and again, Merry Podmas, a happy Podmas to all. You're listening to the Modern Witch Podcast. If you want any more Modern Witch, just go to modernwitch.com. It's that easy, modernwitch.com. Thank you for everything, and I will see you on the flip side.
There are forces at work here, dark, incomprehensible forces.